Something that I feel worked as my strength is from day one, I focused on, and there's no better way to put it, own your calendar. It can get quickly, kind of a jungle gym actually just can go sideways. At the same time, I want to be honest with my team, my direct reports, and give them clarity on exactly what is going on. So trying to find that balance has really been challenging in terms of mastering that kind of art in terms of when it's okay to say a lot and when it's not okay to say a lot, actually, depending on the situation.
Good morning. Today I have with me Anand Safi. Welcome to Manager's Club.
Thank you so much for having me here. Great to be here.
Likewise. Start with a little bit about your background and how did you get into management?
Sure. So I do have a pretty kind of conventional background that is doing my bachelor's and master's in computer science. So I had something to do with technology from the start. I started working at eBay as a estet post my master's. Over the kind of past 10 years, I moved from various roles from estet to being a software engineer to full stack engineer to kind of a senior engineer and tech lead. And I worked at various companies, right? Like working at eBay, super enterprise, a lot of processes to working for 6.5 years at a startup in New York, you know, Series C backed around 25 people when I joined. And when I left, it was 180. So I was kind of experienced the best of both worlds. Three and a half years back, I was at this critical crossroads, as probably most engineers are. Okay, I'm a tech leader, a senior engineer now. Should I pursue my technical IC track and move towards a staff or principal engineer role or a, like an architect path versus kind of move into leadership and management? And here's kind of where I would like to make the point that for me, it was intentional. It's not the case for most folks, but I'm okay to say openly, like I have always wanted to be in the leadership and management track. So maybe I had it easy. If people might, the track has not been easy, but the move was just kind of intentional and easy. Because even in my IC days, I've always been kind of a little bit more collaborative, a little bit more customer focused, working closely with product and design, leading kind of a bunch of other org culture initiatives and all those things. So just trying to be, I would say, embedded in the entire product development lifecycle versus heads down implementation engineering time. I was lucky to get the support and kind of mentorship of my superiors and managers actually to support kind of that career as an engineer. And that really helped me transition to management much easily around, I would say, 3.5 years back.
Okay. Yeah, so that is an interesting thing about an engineering manager. Sometimes you have to, be the project manager, the product manager, the scrum master. You have to take on a bunch of stuff that just an IC wouldn't do. Could you say, maybe now, what are some of the biggest challenges you face as an engineering leader?
Yeah, I would say the first thing is just biggest challenge is how quickly you are proven wrong in terms of your perception of the role and day-to-day responsibilities. Actually, back then I did have just kind of a little bit more traditional mindset, right? Like I'm going into a managerial role, a little bit more kind of authority, just a little bit more delegation, just higher compensation, right? I will again, I have no shame admitting, like as a junior young engineer, that's what I thought that will come to me. But since I moved into the role, like my challenges or the focus has been continuing to build and maintain trust with kind of my peers and within the folks in my team actually. Employee morale and retention has been a big theme for the past couple of years. But I would say the main thing that has kind of always stood the test of time and still continues to exist is bi-directional flow of information and transparency, actually. You're in this unique or not so great at times middle management, frontline management role. You know that the exec team is working on strategy, prioritization, roadmap, but there's no clarity because it's always ever changing, right? It's not like you can decide once and it's kind of done. You need to revisit it and everything. At the same time, I want to be honest with my team, my direct reports, and give them clarity on exactly what is coming or what is going on. So trying to find that balance has really been challenging in terms of mastering that kind of art, in terms of when it's okay to say a lot and when it's not okay to say a lot, actually, depending on the situation.
So interesting. I agree with you. A lot of ICs really have no idea what managers do, right? And so it's a big surprise. Maybe could we dig in a little bit more on this challenge? Because yes, engineering managers, they have access to a lot of information, and I too want to be transparent, but sometimes there's things you can't say or shouldn't say, or you have to own a message that maybe you don't 100% personally agree with. Do you have any, like, could you say anything more specifically about any advice on this?
It's a real practical example, right? Before revealing too much details that people kind of at my current role might know, it's around org strategy, right? Like, you need to have one kind of focus in the present in terms of delivering against your set commitment. That's where the technical project management, the agile rituals, and those delivery pieces come in. But really, in order to truly kind of progress and kind of grow as an engineering manager to an engineering leader is where you start focusing on the forward-thinking stuff, right? How does what my team does apply at kind of the org scale? Is there something more generic actually? Can we look at something that kind of can help benefit us 2 quarters down the road? So that strategy thing, and that's kind of been my focus for the last year. Growing into that has been really interesting where the challenge have come, because strategy is fluid actually. First, it's really hard to find the right audience every time. So I basically was tasked with kind of finding a strategy for our kind of mobile first landscape in the company. I started with a group of people. Over time, I realized, okay, now I think I need these people as well. So my ever-growing stakeholder and audience kept on changing actually, because at times, at first, nobody was kind of interested or kind of knew what this will shape out to be. But as soon as I put the first draft version out, suddenly everybody got interested and kind of red flags started coming. People had a bunch of questions. I started getting Slack messages and everything. And then kind of went, okay, that was challenging in terms of how do I convey something to people that is half baked while I still kind of am trying to get the entire landscape on how we approach this at a company or org level actually. Because it's not that I want to enforce my own opinion with limited experience. Like, this needs to be a group thing. And that group discussion is hard to reach consensus when we have so many talented people and healthy discussions ongoing, actually. So that was kind of challenging where I had to kind of work with my exec team in terms of what their vision was, try to match into an actionable and executable strategy, and at the same time, communicate to my peers and kind of my team on how it might impact or how we might rethink while giving them psychological safety. There's nothing against kind of our current set goals and deliverables in that regards.
Wow. All right. Could you share with us a lesson you've learned as an engineering manager over the years?
Yeah, I think the first one I'll say is related to the point that I just said. That is, like, you need to trust the process, and kind of have a lot of self-belief that clarity will ultimately prevail. I got flustered a little bit at times, right? Because I was new to these kind of situations. I often thought it's been a month I've been tiptoeing or going through circles. We're coming back to square one. But I knew, like, there is just a lot more to kind of just having just a conversation. There's things that the kind of other leaders or kind of the overall leadership, senior leadership team needs to think through. You need to weigh options. You need to kind of look at things strategically from a budgeting standpoint. A lot goes into kind of just advocating for something you believe in versus for the wider leadership team to make it happen for everyone who wants something they believe in, actually. So that trusting the process and then clarity will prevail is important. Just kind of seeing the good side of this entire approach. And the second thing, personally, as an engineering leader, that I think I've learned is it's difficult for me to kind of in real time know that when I need to be a buddy or when I kind of need to be a manager, right? I try to have a super casual kind of buddy-like one-on-one approach, but then at times it hinders kind of my being a manager and when I kind of need to enforce some discipline or rigor kind of in either some work they are doing or just kind of bringing them back to kind of alignment actually, or for my reports. Or if I'm trying to be too managerial and kind of just being too formal, I cannot work with them and kind of have a genuine interest and connection with them. and they would simply do whatever I tell them or what we kind of set as goals for the sake of it, but they would not put their heart and soul into it, right? Like they would not kind of go above and beyond. So for me, just that balance is a lesson learned in terms of just trying to analyze kind of each situation or conversation on which hat I need to wear in this conversation to make kind of the most valuable outcome for the team.
I think that's a great challenge, and it is a very fine line to walk that I think only really comes with some experience, you know, like when, you know, you can, because you're not their friend, right?
Right.
And but you want to be friendly. And so how do you balance, you know, being friendly, being managerial? Yeah, I think that's a great one. What is your approach to hiring, especially these days? The job market is pretty hot.
Yeah, I think this answer has probably not changed, but evolved a lot in the past 2 years. Now the approach to hiring is be genuinely interested in the talent that you have. That's kind of retention, but then the talent that you want to bring in, actually, rather than just getting the first person in the door. Gone are the days where just kind of the highest paying person makes kind of the most sense, actually. There is just the thought prevailing currently with this great resignation phenomenon, or maybe the great realization phenomenon, however people put it, actually. But for me, approach to hiring as hiring manager personally is having a discipline and kind of set routine, actually, right? The times where I've struggled is when I needed to really bring someone where I thought like the team needs it. I would kind of spend entire week going through resume, setting up hiring manager calls and just doing it. And then the remaining kind of 3 weeks, I would not even look at the backlog that is piling up, right? If a role is open, I am trying to get into a routine of spending a fixed amount of time every week to keep the pipeline kind of flowing and kind of the process rolling. And that's kind of how I've learned just really growing, also working with my recruiting and people ops team in terms of what benefits them, because there's a huge component on how it impacts their work and productivity based on how hiring managers handle their own kind of hiring backlog and just advocacy, actually. So that's just in terms of just scouting or just kind of getting candidates for interviews. In terms of interviews, actually, I have also just kind of my personal approach is to, I know we want to just find the exact match. Some companies or teams do it to the level of the exact language you used or kind of what challenges you solved. But I have learned to think more holistically, right? As we are kind of going through org design changes over the years, or like different team topologies, or just kind of expanding on just kind of how we might structure teams. I think on this is my current team, but what might be its future state 6 months from now? And can this skill help? If not now, then something where we want to head towards, actually. So thinking more holistically first for my team, if not for a more general fit for any other team, actually. And then in final, like during my hiring manager interviews, my approach is always starting with just trying to not sell them, but kind of just educate them on what the mission of the company is and what my team plans to accomplish and why we're looking on this role. Like the interview goes both ways. Many people are maybe too introvert or shy to even ask for that. I make sure that I am genuinely creating interest and kind of making sure that I can kind of just, I would say, present the role and the team to them in the sense, actually. And then always being available for any offline or after Q&A. I've had a few emails after with candidates through LinkedIn messages. In that sense. And we do a values alignment interview here, which is really special for me, actually, because I'm on the culture task force here. And that's also like just in hiring, having some form of values related conversation embedded, again, both ways, is really important as well.
I think that's nice that you're at the beginning, you're even trying to sell the position, right? Because yeah. I think some hiring managers, they wait till the end of the interview to try to sell it. So that's really nice.
Now, today I can, as I said, right, I am a senior EM going towards a director, manager of managers, leading teams. So when I lead divisions in a few years, I might not be able to do that. So a lot of what I'm saying applies to the newer managers, like 2 to 5 years in their management career. Yeah.
I see. Well, speaking of newer managers, what would be your advice for managers who are just starting out?
Yeah, I think Something that I feel worked as my strength is from day one, I focused on, and there's no better way to put it, own your calendar. It can get quickly, kind of a jungle gym, actually, just can go sideways, just in terms of new conversations, introductions, coffee chats, clarifications, many, many admin, non-admin strategy, brainstorm, team one-on-ones, a lot of things that can crop up. So, really trying to kind of set boundaries and expectations in terms of this is my focus time. This is my IC time as a manager. That could be a conversation itself. As a manager, you probably also need some individual contributor time, but that contribution is more on the strategy and kind of the engineering org initiatives in that regard. So that's own kind of your calendar is the number one advice. The second is focus your first 90 days a lot on relationship building, not only with your team and direct reports, but kind of across your peer network and kind of even outside of your discipline, right? Product and design, kind of, I almost see as the two other pillars to kind of roll forward a team. And for me, it was really important that I was in sync from day one and trying to build trust and kind of share what I believed in and kind of just understand where they were coming from for kind of any a problem that we were trying to solve. So this kind of relates to the point that you'll soon realize in a few months that it can get really lonely, for lack of a better phrase, in the position you are in, actually, especially coming from the IC role before, like within the last few years. So that is really important because other people are also going through similar kind of learning moments in their own teams. So that is really important to have a strong support network, not only within engineering, but also product and design. This last one is find ways to measure on whether you are kind of getting the desired outcome out of your team from your role in the first 90 days, right? So whether it's giving and receiving feedback, whether there is some kind of KPIs or metrics, however you prefer, but there is an opportunity, and many people I've seen do that within the first 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, there is always an opportunity to course correct. People do realize day in, day out that we tried management, I liked it, didn't love it, actually. And then they go back to their IC role in that sense, right? So it's a safe space with a minimal blast radius in kind of the first 3 to 6 months where you can see if this is really for you once you understand the full kind of extent of your role. And then really kind of have an honest conversation on whether you want to continue. Like just making it work or keeping the lights on approach is not good for management. Really, really need to be passionate up to some degree and kind of really want to do it wholeheartedly rather than being made to do it just as another job.
I see. Okay, you mentioned owning your calendar as an advice for new managers. I'm always interested in how people manage all the things they have to do, their calendar, emails, etc. Do you have any other advice on this topic?
Yeah, so I just do a few. There are hundreds of articles, resources on all these productivity hacks, tips, tricks, all these things. Personally, what works for me is trying to have set days with one or two major themes. So, because of kind of how we have our company culture structured and kind of how we have our team structured, I have most company meetings on, Monday and Wednesday, actually. That's kind of when we do our agile rituals at the start of the week, midweek check-ins, actually, or just kind of grooming for the next sprint a couple of days ahead to give them enough time to review. So Mondays and Wednesdays are team and org meeting heavy. We do our kind of all hands those days. Thursdays is I reserve exclusively for one-on-ones. Again, can really depend on how people want to do it. People prefer one or two each day. I probably am able to context switch, but I really prefer a single day when I'm in that only one-on-one zone. And I would have 30 minutes of one-on-ones with kind of 15 minutes breathing room in between. And that's kind of my one-on-one Thursdays, actually, with my direct reports, with my peers, or kind of with my own manager, the VP or skip levels, actually. And then Tuesdays and Fridays, half of the days is purely focus time. So it's just that we do as a company, just 1 to 5 p.m. focus time. But still, it leaves the calendar open for these ad hoc meetings and everything to just be internal brainstorm, ideation, just kind of a problem in that regards. That's the ideal version. It's not that it's always possible to stick to the ideal version, say I'm on call as an incident manager and there's a P1 interrupt, then yeah, all of this goes sideways in the sense. But that's just kind of how I organize major theme for a day. The second thing I do is just kind of try to focus on the bigger action items at the start, actually. So we have our core working hours in the company from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. So because that just gives like kind of more people in the PSG zone to at least kind of have start at 7 or 8. Normally, our main meetings start after 11. That, for me, being in the EST time zone, gives me the 9 to 11 block, really focusing on the bigger action items at the start of the day. And then smaller action items like a little kind of update the notes or just do this thing or provide this link or review this document, I can do throughout the day pretty kind of easily between my meetings. And in kind of my day itself, I tend to make sure that my meetings are focused on a mix of kind of engineering time. So some engineering roundtable discussions, technical architecture discussions, some maybe peer review sessions. I see focus time that is focusing on strategy items or just kind of working on any org initiatives, and then collaboration with my team and direct reports and those. So it's a couple of themes, one theme or two theme a day, and then bigger action items at start of the day when there is really just the day starting for most people.
I think that's really nice how you've structured your week and your days to have particular themes. I think that's really nice. What's a personal habit that you feel contributes to your success?
I think self-discipline and sticking to a routine, right? I'm not self-disciplined as in not overindulging in, say, doing an action item or reviewing document or just kind of doing that. A routine as in I probably tend to stick to, like at this point in the day, I would probably focusing on one of these two things, actually, versus kind of just going through all the 50 Slack channels and the 500 notifications that are coming up and all the kind of GIS or memes. So I definitely do that, but I have kind of some form of alerting and prioritization setup. Ruthless prioritization applies a lot in terms of personal routines. And then the second thing I'll say is I'm not sure there's definitely multiple train of thought here, but I do believe for one in the to-do list, I actually use it. A pen and paper is the classic way for me. I've tried 100 tools, digital things here and there, just writing down and kind of just even post-its. So I do believe in to-do list, right? And maybe that's because from my IC days or something, I do like quantifiable kind of measurement at the end of the day, because success in this role is very abstract in terms of management. So for me, making sure that if I had five themes or five items and three were kind of just big ticket items that I wanted to cover, if I crossed off at least two or all three, that's success for me at the end of the day, actually. So I do tend to kind of just make sure I have some mental and probably just data driven, I would say, insight at the end of the day on whether I kind of was productive or not in that sense. That's basically it. And then actually also, yeah, the personal habit you said is proactive communication, 100%. Like just, I would not rather wait till that day or till the last minute to tell someone or just update on something. If I know, come to know of any information, as you said, like as manager, if I feel this should flow somewhere, I would rather flow it now rather than wait a day or a week and then just kind of they hear from somewhere else or the information in itself changes altogether, actually. So,
all right. Is there an internet resource, app, or tool that you really like that you find helpful?
I think it's probably in the social media side, it's kind of the LinkedIn and Twitter in terms of more bite-sized information. And just I have a huge, huge belief and value kind of gained as well as investment of my time and effort in kind of peer networking and just community practices. So definitely LinkedIn and Twitter help me keep on top of that. For more general items or just themes that are going on in the industry, right? Like the 4-day work week or just people are kind of having a tough time just in terms of their current roles and are always looking for the next thing. So those industry themes really kind of help me think of different perspectives, like does it apply to my team or company? If so, what are some other people doing to tackle it? Like what do we need to do anything to tackle, right? So that helps. There's also like a Slack community in terms of targeted peer communities. Like there's a lot of leadership, a couple of leadership Slack channels that really help me when I need to seek input. I at least know that I'm going to get a level of credibility in terms of the answers and resources versus just scout Google and then land on any link. I'm not sure like if that's way outdated or does not apply in my context. So that's another thing. And then on YouTube, I follow Simon Sinek. I follow a bunch of things, but specifically Simon releases this bite-sized 3 to 5 minute videos actually. And that really helped me stay current in terms of just how he portrays that. So again, it's a very personal thing that I like and can live without when there's a new video of that, because that really helps me incorporate that into my current teams. And I found that to be successful, right? I don't follow from a philosophical sense like, wow, this is profound and deep. I found it to be often practical and kind of actionable. So that's why I kind of just follow Simon Sinek.
Simon Sinek's really interesting. Yeah, he has some really good books too. Maybe perhaps later, if there's some other YouTube channels or Twitter handles that you follow, you could send them and I'll put them in the notes.
Sure thing. Yeah.
On the topic of books, if you could recommend one book to managers, what would it be and why?
Yeah, I'm a big book person. I wish you said recommend 5 or 10 because I would like to recommend 5 or 10. But I would say the one book. So whenever I've been asked this question, it comes down for me to 2 books. Actually, I'll take the liberty of sharing 2 so that people can pick the one. So the first is Turn the Ship Around, where I have really kind of, maybe most people listening know it already. So just I see that just applicable more and more as I kind of get myself embedded into new roles, responsibilities, and perspectives, actually. And the second is, again, similarly, Radical Candor by Kim Scott. Again, applies at multiple levels. I reread it, actually. And then I think now it applies kind of at all levels, right? Like up, down, sideways, everywhere, actually. So I see that practicing a lot more in that sense, right? How can you kind of just, if you can perfect that art, you can have any conversation, even if you're entering a tough conversation with a customer or kind of a potential client or with a one-on-one who's frustrated, you probably know that you can be authentic and they trust you that you will be authentic. And that kind of makes it easy. So being radically candid and kind of just having to practice that and something you said, right? It comes with experience. And the more you do it, it's not going to be perfect the first few times. It might come as negative. It might come as the sandwich method, right? Say something great, put the negative stuff in and then wrap up with, oh, but you did great, right? So there's just kind of, you need to just constantly do it. And then over time, you'll probably get slightly better with it, actually.
Those are both great books. And I love Turn the Ship Around with Captain Marquette. I was in the Navy and I love those.
Oh, wow.
I love those Navy military books like that. There's so many good leadership lessons.
Navy SEALs are one of the most preferred kind of leadership principles. Like, I really kind of follow those principles and then read about them as well. Yeah.
Yeah. What is your approach to developing, coaching, leveling up members of your team?
Yeah. I would probably end up saying a couple of generic things I do from a practice standpoint, but the exact execution is very subjective that I realize, right? I try to just kind of use the same talking points, and I've seen how differently they come across to people on varying degrees of interpretation and emotional kind of context to folks. So I think my approach has just been trying to be kind of direct, not in a bad way, but direct and evidence-based actually. So trying to share concrete examples, and that can come if I am genuinely interested in their kind of growth and just interested in their potential in the sense. So like just evidence-based versus just conceptually, actually. I just want to say like, oh, you could do this and that, or I wish we could be better at documentation. But then if I have examples on for this thing we could have documented or this one could have been better, that kind of just brings them, okay, yes, I'm not simply talking castles in the air or just kind of saying something for the sake of it, actually. I really want to convey something across. So evidence-based is important. Trying to something in terms of radical candor, trying to balance the positive and constructive, right? I had the habit early on in terms of praising a lot, like in terms of people, and just kind of always seeing the positives. And then the one time, as I said, right, like that buddy manager balance, the one time I had to get something constructive across, it was a hard conversation because they never thought like, oh, but you never told that this was a problem. And now suddenly 6 months later, you're telling like this is such a big deal on your end, actually. So I started to be a lot more pragmatic and kind of balanced in my conversations on how I coach something, where I say like, this is a strength that we can leverage, but at the same time, this is what needs to be built upon in the sense, actually. So no surprises, maybe, in that sense, actually. And then one thing I'll say is I do tend to focus on people's strengths a little bit more because they were hired for their strengths and talent, rather than always be critical that these are your weak areas and keep on improving, right? If people are always going to be focusing on their weaknesses and they're spending more than 50% of their time trying to do something where either they are not passionate and they don't care or are invested, then you kind of lose out on really gaining the value of what strengths they bring to the table, right? So trying to also make sure that first we play to everyone's strengths, while at the same time having some form of goal that kind of just upskills them in an area they are interested, that is really important in terms of the coaching, actually. And then the last one is all that I say probably works for a session or two, at which point I need to seek active feedback. Is this message coming across like probably anything that I can change or help better support you? So trying to polish or kind of just evolve my own development and coaching style after kind of every month or two is really important in a subjective sense.
I think these are all really great. And I like your idea of, you know, focusing on people's strengths, which is really good because you say that's what they were hired for, right?
Yeah.
What does it take, in your opinion, to be a great engineering leader?
I think the main thing which I've written the article with this same title is keeping calm under chaos, emotional strength and resilience, just a lot of, right? There are going to be, unclear direction. There are going to be war room situations. You're going to be in that hot seat many times, actually, or have tough conversations. People might look up to you in terms of a conflict or a deadlock on you step in and kind of make a decision or choose a path. So keep calm and then kind of build the emotional strength because it can take a toll, right? Like you are kind of just in a unique spot in terms of where people can, and yourself also, are really vulnerable and can open up in terms of just what people are going through personally and professionally, actually, in that regards. So that is important. The other thing I say is like to become a great engineering leader, or something I touched upon at one of my earlier answers, is some form of intrinsic motivation to begin with, right? To be in this role and track, just it's really important that there is at least an area or two that really kind of gives you pride and kind of satisfaction of being in this role or track that you see, right? Either that I really love growing and nurturing raw engineering talent and seeing them become great kind of talented either staff engineers or maybe future engineering leaders, right? Maybe that's what I like. I really like how I can work with a team and kind of drive towards the goal. And I really like that part, right? I'm playing kind of the messenger or just kind of the leader in terms of taking the first step into uncertainty, your leap of faith. So some aspect of intrinsic motivation is really important, actually. And then one thing that I realized is also trying to be a little bit more strategic and solution focused versus trying to be kind of just short-sighted and just kind of depending too much on where a customer or a group of customers might want to steer you or your team's charter, actually. There is definitely, I'm not denying that there's just short-term strategic moves that you absolutely need to make, but customer needs and wants and outlook is also ever-changing. So if you build simply at kind of the mercy of someone else's perception, it can either kind of they might want something different 6 months later, or it can probably not what the wider industry wants. So something that what you care as a company and mission that you want to push out and can kind of advocate for is important at times even more than kind of where someone else has an impression of what you should be doing as a team or as a company actually.
I love these. Yes, having the right motivation, you know, being in management for the right reasons, I think is great. And I love this customer solution focus. Anand, you've been really generous with your time. It's been great to talk with you. If people wanted to reach out to you later, learn more about you, maybe read some of your articles, where would be the best place?
I would say just connect with me on LinkedIn or send me a message. And from there, you'll find the articles, the talks that I've been doing. There's also a Linktree link, which is kind of, I think, a single page bio of like many outlinks in terms of different articles or talks or videos. But I do take upon me to review every message or kind of note that comes on LinkedIn to see if there's something that I can do or something that kind of somebody else in my network can do actually. So I would absolutely love to connect with folks there. And then you'll definitely find all the other things that I've been doing in the industry through my LinkedIn as well.
All right. I'll put a link to your profile. Well, awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming again. Great to talk with you.
Same here.